Welcome again to our episodes on the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. Jeremiah, the one who had to prophesy at the time of the greatest revival that Israel had ever known under King Josiah, a revival that brought them back to God, a revival that enlarged their territorial boundaries, and they got back the territory from Euphrates right down to the river of Egypt, and God was really blessing them. It was always as though the country had become united again, and the book of the law had been found again, and here was revival. You know, why is this so important to us today? Well, you see, as you go from country to country, as we have the privilege of doing, you find that congregation after congregation of God's people are very expectant, and they're saying, oh, revival is coming. I feel revival is coming very, very soon indeed. And revival, like the revival of Josiah's time, is going to be founded on the Word of God. They had lost the book of the law. So backslidden had Israel become that they were almost quoting the Word of God from memory because they hadn't got a copy of the Old Testament of God's law. And then in the days of Josiah, when they were cleansing out the temple, there was a scroll found that we could say was kind of like the Old Testament, the book of the law, all the writings of Moses. And they were in ecstasy. You see, well, I tell you this, this revival that's coming will also be centered around the Word of God. People will be quoting the Word of God. People will be singing the Word of God. And also, there will be great signs and wonders. Well, here is the scenario for Jeremiah. How Jeremiah commenced his ministry in calling people back to God. God gave a revival, a tremendous revival under Josiah, and the temple was cleansed. The Word of God was preached again, and the people were on fire. Well, unfortunately, Josiah, you know, did not listen to the Word of God. And the scenario is like this. Here was the Assyrian Empire waning. Babylon was on the ascendancy. The Babylonians were coming from Babylon against Assyria. They were coming towards Nineveh, and the Assyrians were crying out to the Egyptians, come and help us. And the Egyptians were coming up, and you know, Josiah went out to meet Pharaoh Necho, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh Necho said, don't touch me. It's God who's causing me to come up. If you touch me, you will be killed. Well, unfortunately, Josiah was not listening to Pharaoh Necho, who was speaking the word of God. And he went to battle against Pharaoh Necho, and he got killed. And then Pharaoh Necho put one of his sons on the throne, Coniah. And then when he himself got defeated at Carchemish, he changed the king, took him down into Egyptian captivity, and then put another one, Jehoiakim, on the throne. Well, Jehoiakim was not like his father. He was wicked, he was a drunkard, and he corrupted the people. He loved wickedness, he loved covetousness. And so God said, and this is the little sound bite I want to use in Jeremiah chapter 6, And verse 30, it says, "Thou art reprobate silver, for the Lord hath rejected thee." Reprobate silver, the Lord hath rejected thee. And in effect, God was saying, you know, the country, the nation, the kings, the priests, the princes have so corrupted themselves that you're like reprobate silver. Silver I can't use. Silver that's all still messed up with the lead, I can't use it. You know, reprobate silver. You know, silver that just goes away, I can't use you. Because the Lord hath rejected you. And at this time, God was saying through Jeremiah, look, your situation is so bad, I have rejected you. Now, this is very serious indeed. Because, as I said, the scenario in the history of Israel is a type of what is going to take place at the end of the church age. Great revival is coming, but then it will be followed by great apostasy. You see, the Lord Jesus was asked in Matthew 24, it's recorded, you know, what are the signs of your coming? And among other things, the Lord said, well, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached throughout all the earth, symbolizing a great revival in the end days, and that's confirmed by Daniel chapter 11, you know, and verses 32 and 33, when, you know, they that understand shall teach the multitudes, and also there'll be great signs and wonders, they that know their God shall do exploits. A great revival. But then Jesus is also saying in Matthew chapter 24, he's also saying this. He said, because iniquity will abound and sin will abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And you see, this, as a pastor, is heart-rending. You know, you love the people that are in your congregation. You desire that not only will they be there each Sunday, but they will continue on to the end and have an abundant entrance into the kingdom of God. But what is the word of God telling us? In Josiah's time, revival, after the death of Josiah, first of all, Conaniah, and then Jehoiakim, Jehoashim, and Zedekiah, all bad kings who led the people into corruption and causing God to say, you'll reprobate silver, the Lord hath rejected thee. You know, in considering the compassion and love of the Lord, we also have to understand that he has high standards. He said, be ye perfect like your heavenly Father. Be ye holy as he is holy. That's what God is saying. And I want to consider some of the statements of the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as some of the things in Jeremiah, that we should understand, because I'm interested in your eternal welfare. You know, it was as though I was preparing for these messages, and I could see eternal fire, the lake of fire, as it were. And I'm so concerned that some of you who are listening to me, you know, will you hearken to what I say? Will you do what I say? Will you escape the pangs of eternal torment? You who have once known the Lord, won't you come back? Because what I'm saying is this, you know, you've got to consider the goodness, and as Paul says, the severity of God. The goodness to those who will come back, severity on those that will reject him and will not heed his tender pleadings. No, I want you to understand this, that in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23, the Lord Jesus himself said, many will say in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied? Have we not cast out demons? Have we not healed the sick? And he will say unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, these are children of God. You cannot prophesy in the name of the Lord. You cannot cast out demons in the name of the Lord. You cannot heal the sick in the name of the Lord unless you have known the Lord Jesus Christ, for he doeth the miracles. All right? No. The terrible thing is this. You see, you can be in church, and this is a terrible truth that the Word of God brings out. You know, King Solomon, who backslid terribly, you know, says in Proverbs chapter 5, he's speaking of a young man, and he says this. He says, you know, I was altogether evil in the midst of the congregation. John Wesley made this statement. He said, don't underestimate sin in the church. It's not just a question of reading the Word of God. It's not just a question of being in church. It's not a question of worshiping the Lord. It's not the question of even prophesying. No, the question is this. Are you living for Jesus? You know, I've known some who had the most beautiful prophetic gifts and even had the gifts of healing and things like that. And yet, in their heart, they were far from God. And the result is there came a situation in the church or in the churches, and it was a stumbling block. And God says, I put a stumbling block in Zion. He said, I put the stumbling block to turn away those who are not indeed walking uprightly. Some offense, they got offended. And God permitted it to turn away those who were indeed hypocritical, turning them away. And that is a terrible thing. You see, in Proverbs, and I'm paraphrasing these things, you know, how the cry of the backslider comes. You know, I did not listen to the voice of my teacher. I've never known people who have backslidden who haven't been warned time and time again. Warned, 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 and they still chose to walk in the ways of the world. Having once known Christ, they turn aside. What is their end? Oh, Jesus gives illustration after illustration. He speaks about wicked servants being cast into the lake of fire, to being tormented by worms that can endure the fire. This is something that we have to understand about the two fires. God is a consuming fire, but his fire purifies us. But there is a fire in the earth, the lake of fire, that indeed, you know, burns, but it does not consume. He speaks about worms that endure that fire. Those worms typify sins, and people are literally covered with those worms in hell, and they're gnawing at them, and there's that terrible heat. But the worms are not destroyed. They keep on gnawing away at people's flesh, and yet that flesh is never consumed. Oh, I plead with you. The heat of hell is awesome. It is terrible. And I'm pleading with you, you know, consider your ways. You know what a terrible thing it is to be told by the Lord, you're reprobate silver, I'm rejecting you because I called and you would not hear. And there comes a time, you know, when we will call and he will not hear. You know, if we reject the wisdom of God's word, the wisdom of what I'm saying here, you know, if you reject, there will come a time, I warn you, that you will call and he will not hear. You know, God limits a day. And he says, today, if you will not harden your hearts, come unto me. But people think, oh, well, it doesn't matter. You know, there are testimonies of people who have had visions of hell, talk to people in hell. And one of them I remember very distinctly. It was concerning a lady. And she was being asked because the Lord was conducting a certain person through hell and saw this lady, and she asked the lady, well, how did you get here? And the lady said this. She said, you know, I knew the truth. But I wanted to live the life of this world for a time. And then I thought, well, on my own terms, and at my own time, I could come to the Lord. But she said, I was in a car. I was being driven by my chauffeur, and my chauffeur hit a pole. And the result was, I broke my neck, I died. And she said, you know, here am I in hell. Here am I in hell. God warned me, warned me, warned me, but I was going to wait until I'd enjoyed the pleasures of this life. But she said, you know, I died at his appointed time, not at mine. You know how many have been warned. I remember story of a pastor, you know, a Sunday evening meeting, and young people were crowding into the church, and the pastor was preaching and pleading with the young people, give your heart to the Lord now. And in particular, he felt drawn to a certain young man, and he said to this young man, son, won't you give your heart to the Lord now? And the young man looked at him and said, no, it'll have to be next week. And the pastor said, oh no, please tonight. Please, please tonight. And the young man said, no, he said, no, pastor. He said, I'll see you next week. And the pastor pleaded with him, oh, tonight. And the young man said, oh no, he said, next week I'll come. And then the pastor turned to talk to others, and that young man went out. I'm not sure exactly how long, but it may have been only between 1/4 hour, 20 minutes. And young fellows came rushing back into church, pastor, pastor. Well, what's happened? That young man that you were talking to went out, and then he was talking, and then he crossed the street, and the car struck him, he's dead. No, God limits a day. God is sovereign. God is giving the warning today. If you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Receive him now. Come back to him. You don't want to be told by him on judgment day, or you'll reprobate silver. The Lord hath rejected thee. Do you know? There are many examples that the Lord himself gives. And one of them, coming back to John 15, you know, the branch. We are the branch, he is the vine. But he says this, every branch that bringeth forth not fruit is cut off from the branch, is cut off, I beg your pardon, from the vine, and cast into the fire. Into the fire. Jesus consistently spoke of fire. Oh, you know, it's estimated by scientists that the heat in the center of this earth is hotter than the sun's at its periphery. Well, we know that if we stand out in some of those tropical suns, I mean, our faces just burn. We have to be protected. And oh, what it's like in hell. The terrible flames of hell await those who have not hearkened to the Lord. And so I want to speak to you. You know, I think the most poignant words in perhaps the English vocabulary or translated into Spanish, you know, French. If only, if only, if only. You know, in French, si seulement. No. Si seulement. Wenn nur, in German. It's the same in every language, if only. Two of the most poignant words in the vocabulary of man, if only, if only. And how many in hell are uttering those words, whether from parched lips or from an aching heart, if only I had listened, if only I had hearkened to the voice of my teachers, if only I had listened when the pastor had been warning me. If only I had not left church, but had stayed there. If only I had indeed asked the Lord to give me a pure heart. If only I had stayed on the pathway of righteousness. If only I had gone to the Lord when I was making decisions on who I should marry. If only I had gone to the Lord and asked him, you know, who my friends should be. You know, friends mold friends. It says a friend sharpeneth the face of his friend as iron sharpeneth iron. Well, that's in a good sense, that good friends mold our characters. But you know, it's very true what the Apostle Paul says. Evil companionship corrupts good manners. You know, if we walk with those who mock and scoff at the things of God, who are slothful in their Christian walk, I tell you this, we will be also. They influence us. And how important it is to listen to the words of your pastor who warns you, you know, meeting after meeting. Oh, choose carefully your companions. Choose carefully those with whom you walk. Oh, the pleasures of sin turn very bitter in your life later on. And they will bring you down into the bitterness and heat of eternal fire. Oh, look at what Jeremiah was saying to Israel. Reprobate silver, for the Lord hath rejected thee. We never want to hear those words. But what do we want to hear? Blessed art thou. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. I want to conclude this with 8 steps enunciated by the Apostle Peter. 8 steps that are very sound getting back to the Lord. The first one is faith. You know, having the renewal of faith. The next one is virtue. Crying out to God for a clean heart. The next one is knowledge. You know, you must study the Word of God. You see, study the Word of God. Know the ways of God. Know how to please Him. And then, you know, patience or endurance. And then temperance. Self-control. You know, not letting, as David said, let not sin have dominion over me. But then, moving on to that, godliness or goodness, that the goodness of God be worked out in our lives. For God said, out of a heart of a good man proceedeth those things that are good. Love, joy, peace. Then coming back to our steps, brotherly kindness, or loving one another. You know, what you sow, you'll reap. If you love, you'll be loved. And then, above all, the true love of God, where we love God, we love our neighbor, we love, indeed, our fellow Christian, and we love our enemies. And that will ensure that you continue on the way of righteousness and you will have an abundant entrance into the kingdom of God. You will not be called reprobate silver, the Lord hath rejected thee, but you will be told, come thou blessed into the house of the Lord forever. God bless you.